Greetings, Saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we thank you so much for your blessings and opening up to us understanding concerning your very, very near coming through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we give praise unto you, Father. We thank you for the wisdom and knowledge concerning this, and amen. Well, all right, Saints, I'm going to share something with you, a revelation that's been given over a few days, most of it on one day, I think. It's all about Jesus and the man-child who is at the door. And a sign that we received of the soon coming of the Lord in his man-child body, of the first fruits, was for when our book, Delivered from Dark Powers, is completed. I shared with you that Pam received a word that when Father spoke to me about this book being available to the people, it's almost there. The book was contiguous with the reigning man-child. It was as if the book was out and the man-child was on the throne. The book is right now posted as a free ebook and is about to be published by Lulu and available on our site. So we'll give you the link to that on a text here. So, we're very close, you know. He's at the door. Another sign that we received, that we perceived by the Spirit, was of a fallen tree. Sometime between the night of the 29th and the dark morning hours of the 30th of March, a huge oak tree fell just down the mountain in front of our house. It was 11 foot in circumference, a large tree, a large oak. I've seen in the past that the fall of a tree can represent the death of a person or a body of people. In this case, the thought came to me that this represents the spiritual death of the man-child body and the end of their spiritual crucifixion. The tree is big because this tree is the father of many smaller trees, just as underneath this oak tree there were many smaller oak trees of the same version. Just as the man-child body is the father, like Abraham's name means, father of a multitude. And this will be even more true at their spiritual resurrection. This tree, of course, points to the death. And also, this tree, although it was very good-looking and healthy and living when it fell, is hollow, about 36 feet up from the base. And about 20 feet up, it's big enough for a person to crawl through it. And and I took from this that the original heart of the tree is gone. And that's what death represents, right? Death to self. The original heart of the tree was gone, and air has replaced it. Air or breath is the same word for spirit in the Greek and the Hebrew. So we're talking about the heart of the spirit is there through death to self, right? This tree was very much alive and looked healthy from outward appearances before it was felled by a strong wind. And, you know, a wind can represent in the scripture adverse circumstances, like a crucifixion. And I actually heard the noise and noticed the wind in that night, but I didn't know what had happened, and I didn't pay much attention, rolled over, went back to sleep. I didn't even look and see what time it was. But also, when this tree fell, it took down a smaller oak tree that was a foot across next to it. It had its original fallen heart and also appeared healthy outwardly. And as Jesus said, unless we lose our life, we cannot have his life or be his disciples. And I believe this tree represents the Judas body. If you remember, Judas fell by his own hand or his own works that he did against Jesus, the man-child. He factioned against the Son of David, his spiritual leader, just as they are doing today. So, as you know, he hung himself with his own hand. He died because of that wickedness. And so it will be among the factious in these days, there is a body called Judas. And as you know, just as we've learned, when you come into the New Testament, individuals become corporate bodies, even as they did in the Old Testament. You know, for instance, Esau's was Edom, and his seed was later called Edom. Israel was an individual who later his body was called Israel, and on and on and on. Jesus was a body, who later his body became a spiritual body of Christ, you see. So individuals in prophecy become larger individuals, corporate individuals later. And so it is with Judas, the son of perdition. There is a son of perdition, and there has been throughout every generation, but there is a final son of perdition out there today who is you know, basically siding with the Pharisees against the man-child, son of David, Jesus in the body of the man-child. Okay? Well, after this, I asked for a word by faith. In other words, after this revelation about this tree, I asked for a word by faith at random, and after I discerned this spiritual symbol of death to self. And guess what I got? I got a revelation of the birth, death, and resurrection of a man-child. Yeah. So, I mean, people that think you can't do this, well, what's the chances of this happening? My finger fell on 2 Kings 4:11. And it ended up being a double prophecy to me. 2 Kings 4:11. When I saw this number, 4:11, I thought of Eve's dream where it was said, are you ready for April the 11th? Interesting. I'll just give you a little quote from that. Suddenly many children dressed in army BDUs came filing past me, getting ready for something, some event. And I believed, and I wrote the note in there at that time, the man-child children preparing to do battle. And as I looked up from them to my right, I saw the commander of all the troops. Guess who that is? And I knew him instantly, even though I had never met him. His name was Adam, as in the last Adam, Jesus, right? He's called. And I said his name as we hugged and greeted each other with great joy. Oh, you can imagine how this is fulfilled on earth, you know, what is being spoken in the spirit here. We greeted each other with great joy. We were both the same rank. Less interesting, because they have the same authority because Jesus lives in the bride too. And I'm going to talk to you about that great joy in just a second here. But after he hugged me, he asked me with excitement and great joy, "Are you ready for April 11th? Of course, we didn't know what year it was. That was 2012, you know. But we've had more than enough proof that Eve's got extremely good accuracy in her dreams and her prophecies too. And anyway, this is great joy because the Lord is coming in His man-child to see and to lead the bride. This is what we've been waiting for so long. You know, how could it be anything but great joy, you know? Well, this was given, and then April the 11th came, and a sign was given on April the 11th. Okay? In fact, I've got the link right here in front of me. It's the Extinction Protocol WordPress link 2012. 04-12-2012. And it goes on to say the April 11th, 2012 event cluster of large earthquakes rattled the globe from Indonesia to Mexico. This is what we're expecting. This is what's been prophesied. This is what the dreams have said. And so this day, that the following April the 11th, on that day, was a record for large earthquakes around the world, which has already been shown is the time of the coming of Jesus and the man-child. You know, which we have been expecting, and when it happens, it will be a thing of great joy. And also, the largest strike slip earthquake on record, 8.6, happened, and it moved the earth 70 plus feet. And then I put a video in here of 4 foot of hail that fell in Texas on the 11th. It was an eventful day, but it prophesied something to come. Okay? So, the 11th does not represent a date, but the time of the coming of the Lord, I would say in Epiphania, the Epiphany, which is a shining forth of the glory of God from His people. And in this case, the first fruits, when massive earthquakes will come. That's what this is representing. It doesn't represent a date necessarily. But this is what happened on that day. We've discovered this, you know, years ago when we were getting dates that weren't coming to pass literally. And started searching to see what happened on that day. And lo and behold, it was a sign. March the 28th was one of those days. You know, it was a sign. It was a sign of what happened on that day in history when the Catholic Church tried to bring the Jews in that land under their authority. And guess what? God sent a great earthquake and killed a bunch of people and even killed some of the people that came up with this demand, and they quickly rescinded their demand. Well, who is it that the Catholic Church today, who is it that the apostates today have been trying to force under their leadership? It's the faction. And even the factious denominations are doing that, you know, but the faction that we're dealing with that's crucifying the man-child, they're doing it too. And guess what? An earthquake is going to bring the end of it. And when I'm talking about an earthquake, I'm talking about one that goes around the world. Eve had a revelation of 7 earthquakes that went around the world. We call it an earth tide. It comes when a supermagnetic planet comes very close to Earth, the planet X, and causes an earth tide. Which means as the earth turns, it will be pulling the land towards it, you know. So it's a significant time, and it's coming quickly. So let's go back to our sign, 2 Kings 4:11, because there's, again, the death, burial, and resurrection of the man-child is there. And the first thing it says is, and it fell on a day. Well, notice that 4:11 says, it fell on a day, which could lead you to see that this stands for a day in the future that all these things happen. Earthquakes around the earth, coming of the Lord, etc. Not likely that it's a physical day, because we're not to know the day or the hour, but we can see the signs and we can read them, which Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for not seeing those signs. Okay, so 2 Kings 4:11, and it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. Okay, so the Shulamite in Song of Solomon 6 and 13 exchanges an I for an N, which is common. The Shulamite bride brought forth the fruit of Jesus. In other words, Jesus lived in her. Yeah. Our Anna here just saw Eve, a type of the bride, in a dream as very pregnant suddenly. And of course, we understood that Eve's used as the bride of the last Adam. And suddenly, which could represent Jesus and the man-child, obviously. On with our text. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken to afore to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no son, and her husband is old. That kind of reminds you of Ruth and Boaz, right? The kinsman redeemer. Who, by the way, brought forth Christ in their lineage. Praise God. And verse 15, and he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door, and he said, at this season, when the time cometh round, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. It's kind of like Sarah, right? And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season, when the time is come around. And as Elisha had said unto her. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to his servant, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees until noon and then died. Okay. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead, and laid upon his bed. And he went in, therefore, and shut the door upon them twain, and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child, and put his mouth upon his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon him. And the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned, and walked in the house once to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground, and she took up her son and went out. So there you have it, the birth, death, resurrection of the man-child. We just saw the tree, which is part of the representation of the death of the man child. And so I believe that Jesus and the man child is at the door. And I believe he said that to us. And what I'm going to share with you is some words that are given by Faith at Random on 3/29/18. And also dreams and visions given at that same time confirming this. Okay. Missy said, I heard, be of good cheer, the Lord is near. I believed plagues are at the door too. Yes, and we're going to be connecting plagues with this coming of the Lord and the earthquakes here, okay? And she said, I received by faith with my finger on at the door. The Lord is near, so she asked, and at the door in John 18 and 16. The text doesn't necessarily mean anything. It's the phrase that she put her finger on. Okay, but that brought to mind something else. In Revelation 3 and 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him. Okay, this is true, and this has been happening. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. What does this mean? Well, I'll give you a parallel. The last 7 days before going to the groom's home, the bride and the groom have a marriage feast. That's according to the tradition of the Hebrews, right? And in that, he sups with them. He sups with the bride. The bride being Jerusalem, according to what was told to John. The man-child also being a part of, in one case, in one kind of a parallel, a part of Jerusalem since David ruled in Jerusalem. But he's also the head of the body of the bride because he ruled over Jerusalem, who ruled over the rest of the church at that time, the Old Testament church. Okay, that parallel is what God is using to reveal wonderful things. So I thought on that, and concerning the Lord is near at the door, first of all, what's the chances that she would hear the Lord is near, ask for a confirmation, and get he's at the door? That's pretty near. So thinking on this, this happens when the David man-child is anointed king. Because that anointing is Jesus, as I'm going to show you. And I got after the meeting on this day. I got these, of course, on 3/29. We received these all in our morning meeting, and we prayed about them and so on. And but after that, I got this. 2 Samuel 2, 1, on down. Let me read it to you. And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? Go up here is what I want to point out to you. It's very significant when you look at other places it's used in the Bible. Shall I, spiritually I'm talking about, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, go up. And David said, whither shall I go up? That's three in a row there. And he said, unto Hebron. So David went up thither, wherever that is, and his two wives also, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And his men that were with him did David bring up, even every man with his household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. And the men of Judah came And there they anointed David king. This anointing is the Christ anointing, Christ in David, to do this work over the house of Judah. And I'll prove that more as we go on. And they told David, saying, the men of Jabesh-Gilead were they that buried Saul. So the Sauls died at the hands of the old man of the land. His old man took him out, right? And so this term here, go up, is mentioned three times, and went up one time. And it identifies to me the man-child caught up to the throne, like in Revelation 12, and in a few other texts. Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 23. And he went up from thence unto Bethel, and as he was going up, that's house of God, and as he was going up by the way, there came forth young lads out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. Well, now, they were applying this, obviously, wanting Elisha to go up the way Elijah just did. Evidently, they either saw it or heard about it. Okay, and now they're telling his disciple, do the same thing. And that is that Elijah was caught up to the throne of God like the man-child, and this one too. 2 Kings 20 and 5. Turn back and say to Hezekiah, the prince of my people, he's the son of David, right? Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee. And on the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. Now, what's in the house of the Lord? The presence of God. What's there? The throne, right? Okay, so he caught up to the throne. Go up symbolizes that. Now, on the third day can be the death, burial, and resurrection, but also on the third day is the 3,000 years from when Jesus came, the beginning of the third day. Okay? So, Kevin got Revelation 14 and 1 through 4, or through 5, excuse me, which is talking about the same thing. And again, all these were given on the same day. And I saw, and behold, the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. Name means nature, character, and authority. That's what they are walking in. Okay. The nature, character, and authority of our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and as the voice of a great thunder. And the voice which I heard was as the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sing, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no man could learn this song save the 144,000, even they that had been purchased out of the earth. Notice, they were purchased out of the earth. These are they that were not defiled with women, that is, the denominations, for they are virgins. In other words, they have not received the seed of man. Okay. These are they that follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were purchased from among men. Okay, so they're purchased out of the earth and from among men to be the first fruits unto God and unto the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no lie. They are without blemish. Okay, this is talking about Jesus in the man-child. This chapter is also is parallel to Revelation 12, 1 on down. It's talking about the same thing. The man-child in Revelation 12 is a corporate body. This is the corporate body. They're the first fruits. Just as Jesus, who was the man-child in his day, was called the first fruits. And now Jesus in the man-child is called the first fruits. Paul called it Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, these people don't have any lies, so they've got the truth, the word of God, in their hearts. But they've got something else. They've got this anointing of the Holy Spirit called the latter rain on them that manifests Christ in them. So Jesus and the man-child is at the door. And then Elena recently moved here from Russia, and she got Acts 22, and her finger was on verse 14, and he said, "The God of our fathers hath appointed thee to know his will, and to see the righteous one, to see the righteous one, and to hear a voice from his mouth. For thou shalt be a witness for him unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." Now just think about what's being stated here, not the timing or anything like that, just what's being stated. Lots of times God gives you something that perfectly answers your question. And but what you got to pay attention to is quite often is just what is being stated. Okay, so he appointed many. He appointed apostles after Jesus to see the righteous one during the time of Jesus and afterwards, to see the righteous one and to hear a voice from his mouth. For thou shalt be a witness for him unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. The witnesses, Jesus sent forth witnesses two by two. It was a corporate body of witnesses, which is what Book of Revelation is talking about very plainly. And he sent forth a corporate body of two witnesses into every place that he himself was about to come. Okay. That's what the two witnesses are going to do. And they're a corporate body just like every other entity in the Book of Revelation. And if you study our book, Hidden Manna for the End Times, you'll see it plainly because it's all laid out in Scripture. It's already written. It's just people haven't taken the time to look into it, but it's there. And, of course, those disciples who became apostles were witnesses for him unto all men of what they had seen and heard, which is what? The man-child. The man-child Jesus. Is the same thing about to happen? Yes, it is. Same thing. And so that's why she got this at this particular time. Now, this is, I think, interesting, too. She said, "I had a dream, and I saw a sign in heaven. I was at my husband's baseball game," which is, I don't have time to really go into that, but she said, "I saw a second son." She saw the real son, then she saw a second son, then a third son, and then a fourth son. And obviously, this symbolizes the earth being in the midst of a little planetary system, right? The Planet X system is to show up to create the earthquakes and bring down kingdoms when it passes by Earth's orbit. Interesting, okay, because it keeps showing up, you know. And why on this day, you know, when we're talking about the coming of the Lord and the great earthquakes? Why did it show up on this particular day? Quite often we get in our morning meeting things that confirm one another. And that just shows you how supernatural this is when you pray in faith and you believe God is going to give you an answer by faith at random, and he does it. So also mixed in with this was this pestilence thing that we've been talking about, warning about, that the deep state is sending forth. And just remember that Missy said, "I heard, be of good cheer, the Lord is near." And she said, "I believe the plagues are at the door too." And I agree with that, because the verses that we got make it very plain. Matt Farah got Luke 21, 10, and 11. "Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be great earthquakes in divers places," many places, different places, "and famines and pestilences." The great earthquakes and the pestilences are close together. And I believe the pestilence is coming first and the earthquakes are coming second with the Jesus and his man-child. "And there shall be terrors and great signs from heaven." There's the signs from heaven again. Would you say that a planetary system going by us is something that's very uncommon? Yeah, and it's a great sign from heaven, right? And on this day, Deb sent this. "Listen, my daughter in Maryland called this morning to tell me the kids were all sick with an awful stomach bug, vomiting, etc. They had all played out in the snow for hours." Well, you remember the evil snow and the warning that it was coming. And I shared with you how the crazy snow that we got on that day was very thin. We didn't get like the rest of the Northeast got. We just got a little tiny dusting. I walked out and looked at it, put it on my hand, and and let it fall on my shirt and stuff. And it was little round specks, like about an eighth of an inch around, little flat, almost flattened, little discs. No flake. Okay. Well, other people in the country got the needles. Remember I shared with you how a couple of years ago they were little tiny short needles that were just all tangled up as they fell in different ways, you know. And, well, other people in the country saw those and these flakes I'm talking about. They've been reported to us. As you know, when our broadcast goes forth, we get feedback, you know. Well, after this, others in our meeting reported grandchildren getting sick like this after playing in the snow. So let me say this, the plague may have already gone forth. And here's another revelation that it may have already gone forth. On this same day, Lexi had a dream of the plague already on the ground. She said, "I saw Brandy running past me to go do something, I don't know what, and I realized that I was also running, and we were out in this big field, and I saw these round piles of something everywhere on the ground. It was, as I was running, I collided with my mom, and I said half to myself, this, meaning the stuff on the ground, is the plague, and it's already this close to me." I think she said, you know, it was like a foot from her foot, you know. "It's already this close to me, and yet it's not at my right hand yet." So she said, "This is the plague, it's already this close to me, and it's not yet at my right hand." Okay. So I believe this means that the people around her are not dying of this plague yet, or being infected of this plague yet, okay? So she went on to say, "At the time in the dream, I was thinking of Psalm 91, 6 and 7. For the pestilence that walketh in darkness," in other words, she was thinking this in the dream, Okay, that's significant. For the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday, 1,000 shall fall at thy side. There it is. It's not ready yet at my right hand, she said. And 10,000 at thy right hand. So she said it hadn't quite come to that point yet, but it's on the ground. But it shall not come nigh thee. Now, isn't that neat? Or what? Is God saying it's already out there? I think so. My next thought was, I don't want it that close. It's creepy enough already. I woke up after that and I realized that the dream had been in black and white instead of the usual color. I know in some videos the black and white is used as an emphasis on the seriousness of its content. I also released that there was fog around us in the dream. I guess that's realized, that there was fog around us in the dream. I don't have a clue why. And my thought is perhaps the fog symbolizes the confusion as to where this plague is coming from. Seems that people didn't know which direction to run. So the running around also seems to symbolize this, that the confusion is that we don't know where this plague is coming from. But she got in the revelation that it was coming from this stuff that fell on the ground. Okay, and still might be growing on the ground. I don't know. It came down as the evil snow, if you remember our past revelations about this. And we've certainly seen evil snow. That's not has nothing to do with nature. It has to do with these people monkeying with nature. I got a couple of them here I'm going to share that didn't happen on this day. The same day. But they fit so good I wanted to share them with you at this time. Shalonda got this dream confirmation on February the 18th, 2018. That it was from the snow. Yeah. I was on a bus going somewhere, and a couple of the brothers from UBM were there, Kevin and Brandy. And Brandy was showing me something on his phone. I don't remember exactly what. I was then telling a dream that I had about snow falling. In other words, in the dream, she was telling about a dream that she had about snow falling. And while we were on the bus, it began to snow, huge snowflakes. And Kevin said, this is a confirmation. Now let me say this. We have seen huge snowflakes too. It seems they're doing all kinds of experimentation here. But we've seen some huge ones here. And I don't know exactly why. Or what is happening. We just had revelations that the snow was going to bring the plague. Okay. And Kevin said, you know, obviously they were looking at these snowflakes. And Kevin said, this is a confirmation. And he had his phone out making a video of it. Okay, so the Lord is trying to say to us, hey, this is a confirmation. Pay attention here, you know. And he was taking a video of it. And on the bus, it was also dark. So could they be dropping it in the dark? Oh, yeah, sure. They do everything in the dark. And I knew we were going to a school, but I jokingly said we are going to a prison. So after the snow, after the plague, we were going to a school that she joked about being a prison. Well, the school in the wilderness is for the prisoners of Jesus Christ. That's what came to me. And another one that I'll give that's not, we didn't receive on this same day, I'll go back to looking at others that were on the same day, was given on 4-1, which is today, and both Judy and Shay got the same text. That happens to us sometimes. Now, what's the chances? The big Bible's pretty big, you know. You're going to flip it over and put your finger down on the same text. And, of course, they were sitting close together. But it had nothing to do with that. Habakkuk 3 and 1 through 6. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet set to Shigoyneth. I don't know how to pronounce that. Sorry. Verse 2. O Lord, I have heard the report of thee and am afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. And we're expecting wrath shortly. And I believe, friends, when it starts, it's going to be one thing after another. Boom, 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 boom. Okay, because nobody's listened, and God's got to get attention. And verse 3 starts out with saying, God came from Teman. God came. And the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. And his brightness was as the light. He had rays coming forth from his hand. And there was the hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence. You hear that? The coming of the Lord, but just before his coming, in front of him, is the pestilence. And I believe the earthquakes come when he comes. Okay, so I think the pestilence comes before the earthquakes. Before him went the pestilence, and fiery bolts went forth at his feet. Remember that. Fiery bolts went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations. Well, obviously, driving asunder the nations is the nations making war against his elect. And the eternal mountains were scattered. The everlasting hills did bow. His going forth, his goings were as of old. In other words, it's a repetition of history. Right. Notice that the pestilence immediately precedes the coming of the Lord in his man-child body. The mountains being scattered represents earthquakes, which accompanies the coming of the Lord in the dreams and the words of Scripture that we've received. The fiery bolts, I believe, represents the electric universe, you know, which the powers that be call a theory, but obviously it's not, because we've seen it in action when Mars was hit, okay, with a bolt of lightning. When heavenly bodies like Planet X and the Earth get too close, huge bolts of lightning pass between them. Okay, and some people say that's where the Grand Canyon came. It was not as people say. It was carved out by a bolt of lightning. That's what they're saying. I don't know. I have no way to prove that or not disprove it. But it seems that the Earth has been hit before with this. And then Don got Haggai 1:12. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Well, this timing fits with our other text. When did this happen in the text? Okay, well, we'll look at chapter 2 in verse 6 and 7. It says, For thus saith the Lord of hosts, Yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the precious things, let me say this, the precious things wasn't there, it's the word or desire, or the desired of all nations. The desired. Who is desired of all the nations of Christianity? I mean, the Christians who are spread out among all the nations. Who is the desired? This is the Lord, right? And the text proves this. The desired of all the nations shall come. Okay, there he is. He's coming. And I will fill this house with glory. What would fill the house with glory except the Lord himself? It is the glory of the Lord that is manifested when we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We're transformed into the same image from glory to glory. So, it is the glory of the Lord himself. It is the glory of the manifestation of Christ in you, right? Okay, so, and this is of course, when he's coming, this is going to be a shaking of all the nations. All the nations. That's pretty big earthquakes. And verse 13, then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, which means born from Babylon, right? Born from Babylon. He was among the first fruits and the leader of the people. Okay. The son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Now, let me say that the house of the Lord is not a building. And all those that think it is are blind. We know who the house of the Lord is. It's God's people. We are his temple. He won't have another temple. He doesn't like temples made with men's hands. He said so. And so, what we're talking about is building God's people into the original plan that God had for them. The restoration of all things. All that we lost through the dark ages of dark Christianity is going to be restored, as we'll see. And verse 20. And the word of the Lord came the second time unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. Hey, that's like Pharaoh. That's like the king of Babylon. We've seen they're both going to fall, you know. Pharaoh and his Red Sea experience, and the king of Babylon as Cyrus, who is a type of both the anointed man-child and Trump, running parallel, as we've seen. And I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations. Can't you imagine that earthquakes like this will do just that with the tidal waves that go with them? With the volcanic activity that goes with this. You can't have this without the other. Okay. And I will overthrow the chariots. So now he's applying something that don't have anything to do with the Red Sea chariots, right? I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down. That sounds like the Red Sea, doesn't it? Every one by the sword of his brother. And of course, you know, the Red Sea happened a long time before this, but they knew it was a type and a shadow, and we know it now as a type and a shadow of the overthrow of these kingdoms and their kings who are trying to bring God's people into captivity. The king of Babylon tried to do it. He invaded this land with all of his Muslim hordes to overthrow this land of Christianity. And, of course, Pharaoh did the same thing, and they both met with the same end, and that's what he's trying to get us to see. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, I will take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and will make thee as a signet. Signet is a sign or a ring that that stands for authority, like as exactly what was given to Mordecai, the man-child, little man, Mordecai, man-child. He got the signet. You know, Joseph got the signet. You know, when he started that, his man-child ministry, and so on. So, I have chosen thee, says the Lord of hosts. Okay, so the timing and exactly what happens at the coming of the Lord is very clear here. You know, you can see it. So here's some words that were given from 27th to the 30th of March. And Kevin, on the 27th, which is the day before all these other verses were given, he got Zechariah 3 and 1. And I'm going to read on down to 10. And he showed me Joshua the high priest, there once again. By the way, this is a revelation of not only someone who has dominion in the political realm, like we just read about Zerubbabel, but also a high priest who is Jesus in the religious realm. Okay, so you got these two joined together on a throne here to rule over the people of God. Okay, so now we're looking at Joshua. He showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to be his adversary. And the Lord said unto Satan, so Satan is charging this man-child personality and the Lord is defending him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, yea, the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now that's exactly what's going to happen with the man-child. That's kind of like that tree, you know, that fell. Death was the end of the crucifixion, the fire, right? Now, Joshua was clothed in filthy garments. It's very interesting. The other day we were talking about how was Jesus brought to Jerusalem on the back of a colt of an ass, a donkey. And Brandy was saying, you know, I saw some donkeys a while back, and when I looked at them, they had this cross on their back. And I said, yeah, that's his donkeys bearing their cross. You know, the donkey brought Jesus in. He was the body of the beast that Jesus rode in on. That represents the man-child. Compared to the one who's riding, he's just a donkey. but that's the flesh that the Lord chose to bring his glory to his bride, Jerusalem. And so what we're saying here is that the man-child who is born a body of people is not the important one. It's the one who lives in them. It's just like you and I. The one who lives in us is the important one. We're just servants to carry him where he wants to go, right? And the Lord hath chosen Jerusalem, rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments compared to Jesus, of course, you know, and was standing before the angel. And he answered and spake unto thee, unto those that stood before him, saying, take the filthy garments from off of him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with rich apparel. And by the way, he will use the beast to do that. Remember, he used Haman to clothe Mordecai in rich apparel. And that was, of course, by the crucifixion of the old beast around him. Those who are members of the body of the beast. And he clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord was standing by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, If thou wilt walk in my ways, if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou also shalt judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee a place of access among these that stand by. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, or Jesus the high priest. By the way, Jesus was after the order, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. An order is not just two. There is a high priest order, our day, called Melchizedek, and it's the man child. And that's because Jesus dwells in the man child. Again, the donkey don't get the credit. It's just carrying the Lord, right? Okay. O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men for a sign. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch. The branch in Jeremiah 23 and 33 is the man-child, the son of David. For behold, the stone that I have set before Joshua, upon one stone are seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, says the Lord of hosts, and I will remove that land in one day. I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. Oh my goodness. Perfecting his man-child in one day. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, shall you invite every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. Amen. Oh, it's going to be awesome and wonderful and a joyous day, as we just got through seeing. And Merlene got on the 27th, and also on the previous Saturday, the same text, okay? John 16, 21 through 22. And you've heard me speak on this before. A woman, when she is in travail, have sorrow, because her hour is come. But when she is delivered of the child, there's the woman with the child, right, as Revelation 12, she remembers no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. So this is the woman with the man child. He's clearly speaking about this. Because when you go from the time Jesus spoke this all the way through the Bible, you come to the woman with the man child in Revelation 12. And ye therefore now have sorrow, because that's through the crucifixion, right? But I will see you again. I will see you again. What? As a man child born to a woman, history repeating itself, happening again. That's what happens. History always repeats itself. The Bible says so. And your heart shall rejoice. There's that joy again. Your joy no one taketh away from you. Wow. How awesome. How awesome. And Kevin got on the 30th of March, Zechariah 9 and 9 through 13. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. Okay, so here our king is coming. Jesus is coming. And he's going to rule over what? Jerusalem. Like who? David ruled over Jerusalem. David being the body. Jesus being the Son of God in the body. Okay. Thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, having salvation, lowly, riding upon an ass. That's the man child body. even upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim. Ephraim was of all nations, right? I'm talking about the church. The chariot from Ephraim. The bondage that God's people, the church, are under. And the horse from Jerusalem. And the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the nations. And his dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from river to the ends of the earth. The dominion of who? Jesus, in the man-child, the king, who is coming to Zion, Jerusalem. Okay? Does that make sense? And as for thee also, because of the blood of thy covenant, I have set free thy prisoners from the pit wherein is no water. Talking to the bride. Set free. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. Yes, great gifts are about to be given to the bride, as we've seen. For I have bent Judah for me, and I have filled the bow with Ephraim. That is the church, the larger church, Judah, in whom is the bride, and the larger church who is going to be coming under the bride, under the authority of Jerusalem, just like under the authority of Jerusalem was the Old Testament church, right? So you see how it fits well. And I will stir up thy sons, O Zion, against thy sons, O Greece. And of course, Greece represents the beast that fought against Zion. And will make thee as the sword of a mighty man. And then Debbie got, on the same day, Ruth 2 and 1 through 3. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth. And that's talking about Boaz. We've already heard that the man-child is going to be wealthy, not for himself, but for the body. Okay. No minister of God is supposed to use their wealth for their own ambitions. It doesn't belong to them. It belongs to the body. A mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech. And his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi. So we're talking about a Gentile bride here because she was a Moabitess. Said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor. Well, that was Boaz. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. So here you have the bride, the Gentile bride, reaping in the field of Boaz. Just as the bride in Jesus' day was reaping in his field. They were reaping his fruit. And this was to light on the portion of the field belonging to Boaz and was of the family of Elimelech. So before Ruth was the bride, she gleaned in Boaz's field and partook of his fruit. Boaz is a type of the man-child. She's a type of the bride. Boaz was the kinsman redeemer. And, of course, the kinsman redeemer is Jesus, right? He is the one that came to provide and be a blessing to the bride. And then Missy got on the 31st, Jeremiah 50 and 44 through 46. Behold, the enemy shall come up like a lion from the pride of the Jordan. against the strong habitation. For I will suddenly make them run away from it. And whoso is chosen, him will I appoint over it. For who is like unto me? Yeah, who is like unto me? And who will appoint me a time? And who is the shepherd that shall stand before me? Well, we know it's the man-child. We know it's a Cyrus Trump thing also, parallel to the man-child, you know. So he's going to make the enemy run away from it. Well, that kind of happened with the conquering of Babylon. And you can imagine how Pharaoh's troops, you know, headed for the beach as soon as they saw the water starting to fold back in on them. And therefore, hear ye the counsel of the Lord that he hath taken against Babylon. Well, I'm saying that this is the deep state, and it's going to fall at the time of the earthquakes. Hear ye the counsel of the Lord that he hath taken against Babylon, and his purposes that he hath purposed against the land of the Chaldeans. Surely they shall drag them away, even the little ones of the flock. Yeah, some of these people are going to be captured, and they're going to end up at Gitmo. Surely he shall make their habitation desolate over them. Yes, he sure will. At the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth trembleth. Oh my goodness, there it is again. And the cry is heard among the nations. So that's the, I believe, the deep state falling at the time of the earthquakes. Which, by the way, if it truly was, Planet X had passed through, that God used to part the waters, because obviously when the earth is turned sideways and the earth slows down, waters go in places they've never gone, and it leaves places high and dry. That's one thing it does. But that's going to happen at the same time as the earthquakes. So anyway, that's why I believe the deep state is going to fall at the time of the earthquakes. And Merlin got on the 31st of March, Joel 2:23 through 25. Sound familiar? Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he giveth you the former rain in just measure, and he causeth to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. Okay? So what's going to be poured out is the former rain that's been around a while, and the latter rain that's never been here. Okay? And so when the former rain came, you understand that it came first to Jesus, and then he later imparted this to the body. So now history is repeating with the latter rain. It's coming first to the man-child, and then it's going to be imparted to the body. But the body already in this divine order has been given the former rain. It's just that 90-something percent has never received the former rain. So therefore, they have to receive the former rain before they can get the latter rain. Okay? And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. Why does God send an army of enemies against his crop? Because they rebel against the Lord. And so this happened. How big of a rebellion can you have, you know, If you consider the Dark Ages, it can be pretty bad. Most of the church has never even left the Dark Ages. It's still there. So it's pretty bad. But God says he's going to restore everything to his true church. So the latter rain falls first on the man-child as the former rain falls on the church. And this is the anointing of the man-child to rule. Just as Jesus was first to receive the former rain, the man-child is first to receive the latter rain. The restoration of all that was given in the beginning to the church will be restored with even more. It's going to be a great day. Great joy. Great joy. As we've already seen. And I got on 4 and 1, Hosea 5 and 14, through 6 and 3. Now, I got this during the night. It wasn't a finger on the word thing. But Hosea 5 and 14, I will be unto Ephraim as a lion. Ephraim representing the church as a lion. And as a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear and go away. I will carry off. And there shall be none to deliver. I will go and return to my place. Till they acknowledge, listen to this, till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction they will seek me earnestly. He's going to go and return unto his place. And then Hosea 6 and 1, he talks about after 2 days. So this is before the 2 days. Back in Jesus' time, he left and he said, I'm going to go and return unto my place until they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. Meaning, he's coming again. I'm going to leave, but I'm going to come back. We just saw that, didn't we? Yes. How is he going to come back? As the man-child born to a woman. And then Hosea 6 and 1 said, well, come and let us return unto the Lord, because of what he just said, right? For he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. Yes, think about it, folks. There's been a great falling away, just as Jesus and his disciples said, between that time and this. And much of the church is still totally fallen away from God and doesn't believe most of the scriptures. So there's been a tearing. They've been devoured like a lion. Been devoured. And after 2 days, will he revive us, and on the third day he will raise us up. Well, here we are on the third day. And he will raise us up. We're on the morning of the third day. 3,000 years since Jesus came. First came, and we shall live before him. Let us know, let us follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is as sure as the morning. He will come unto us. Now, if you thought, well, no, David, Jesus is coming in the air, and he's going to take us out of here. Well, no, you couldn't go to the marriage feast if he took you out of here. There's a 7 day or 7 year. 70th week of Daniel is a 7 year period. Each day represents a year. And so he will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that watereth the earth. He will come as the latter rain. He didn't say he was coming in the air. He said he was coming as a man child born to a woman in John 16. In Revelation 12, he tells you the same thing. That's how he's coming. He's not coming in the air before the tribulation. He's coming as an epiphany. That's a shining forth of his glory in his people so that he can come as a parousia, which is for his people. That's what the Bible teaches. So he's going to come as the latter rain, anointing on the man-child, first fruits, and later on the rest of the body. Okay, Sue Farah got on 4 and 1, a text which says that he will come as he did the first time, in the midst of a virgin, in the midst of the larger church body. A virgin is one who has not received the seed of word of or word of a man. Well, guess what? Most of the church has done that, so they're not qualified. So here's her text. Luke 1:34-38. And Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee. Here it is. Coming upon the virgin of Israel, or the virgin of the church. Okay. Not a virgin including the church, but a virgin of the church, who has come out of the church. All right. And the angel said, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee. This is how it's going to happen. And the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Wherefore also the holy thing which is begotten or born shall be called the Son of God. Yes, what is it that's being birthed in this man-child body? The Son of God. It's the Son of God in the Son of Man, just as it was in Jesus' day. History repeats. The Son of God comes in a corporate body of the Son of David. And behold, Elizabeth, thy kinswoman, she also hath conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her that was called barren. For no word from God shall be void of power. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And so it was. She agreed, and it was done. And, of course, people aren't agreeing with this, and that Jesus can come in a virgin, one who has not received the seed of man, a one who is receiving the seed of God, which is what? What is the seed of God? The Word of God. That's what we're told in Matthew 13, the parable of the sower. Ain't God neat? It all starts fitting together after a while. God is so good. He is such an awesome deliverer and savior. So, Matt Farragut on 4 and 1 of March, the outpouring of the seed of David as it was with Jesus, and in our day, Jesus resurrected in the man-child body. Notice the parallel, because history always repeats on a larger scale. Acts 2:29-34. Brethren, I may say unto you freely of the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us unto this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins he would set one upon his throne. And how often did God say he was going to do this? All the way to the end. Read it in Jeremiah 23:33. Both of them speak of the man-child, David's coming forth. And he promised always to have one of his seed on his throne. Spiritually speaking, it's still happening. He, foreseeing this, spake of the resurrection of the Christ. Wow. That neither was he left unto Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus did God raise up, whereof we are all witnesses. So once again, we got witnesses who are going to see this and go forth. Being therefore by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he hath poured forth this which you see and hear, which we are going to see again. For David ascended not into the heavens, but He saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. Right? So, what we're seeing is a repetition of history here. If history always repeats, remember this, that past history is a prophecy of the future. That means all of the Old Testament is a prophecy of the future, although it's given in parable form. And if you go under the parable, you're under a shadow. You're not under the real thing. Okay. And in the New Testament, this past history of our New Testament is also a prophecy of greater things happening to greater numbers of people who represent the same bodies. That's how God does it. That's historically how he does it. So Leon got on 4-1. What Sue got on the 4th, that's Sue Gilmore. The revival of the Spirit breathed into dead Christianity at the time of the great earthquake to raise up a mighty army for God. This is the revival that's coming because of an outpouring of the Spirit or breath of God. Same word, Spirit and breath, okay? Ezekiel 37 and 1 through, 14. So Leon got this and then Sue got it. Okay. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. So they'd been dry a long time, baking in the sun, right? And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Boy, I tell you, looking at that church out there, it don't seem like it. And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy over these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Breath is the same word for spirit. And you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, an earthquake. Oh my goodness, there it is again. The earthquake brings forth the revival, right? Because what? The Anointed One comes. Who is the beginning of the revival? The Anointed One, Jesus Christ, who is coming in his first fruits. How? As the anointing. And the bones came together, bone to its bone, and behold, and lo, there were sinews upon them, and the flesh came up, the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. So he's bringing their body together, but he's going to put the breath of the Spirit, the anointing of the Spirit, the coming of Christ in you, right? The anointing brings Christ in you. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, or spirit, and breathe upon these slain, and they may live. There's your revival, the great revival. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will open your graves, and will cause you to come up out of your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. I will place you in your own land, and you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. A great revival is coming, the greatest, and a real revival, not like the goofy ones we've had in the past that were led this way and that way by false spirits and deceiving spirits. The false revival movement that we went through recently. And after that, the faction movement. And these demons have possessed multitudes of people. But the Lord's got a solution. Yes, they're dead. Dead to God. Dead to listening to His Word. They cannot receive the seed of the Word because of these demon spirits that have them. But God's got a plan. He's going to pour out His Spirit. He's going to set the captives free. Remember, Jesus preached at the former rain, Isaiah 61. To opening the prison to them that are bound, right? He's going to set the captives free. Going to do a wonderful miracle of deliverance. Now, Atlanta got on 4:1. By the way, Elena is translating Sovereign God into Russian, which we're very thankful for. It'll be a great blessing to the Russian people. And we've had revelations of Russians translating here and running around and looking for somebody that spoke their language. But it's coming. And in fact, I think people are coming here from all over the world. And I think Scripture teaches that. But she got the outpouring of the Spirit on us and our children. Don't fear. Trust in the Lord. Remember, the Lamb was for a household, right? So put your trust in God. Don't be double-minded. Believe for your children. Spiritual and physical, by the way. Isaiah 44:1. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel whom I have chosen. Now, Israel in the Old Testament was the Old Testament church, the church in the wilderness. That's who they were. So when you see this, don't just see the parable. See who it's talking about. What they were in the letter, we are in the spirit. What they were in the flesh, we are in the spirit, right? We have to be circumcised in heart. They were circumcised in flesh. Everything was flesh there. Everything is spirit now. So don't mess that up. So, and Israel whom I have chosen. Some people say now that the Jews are the chosen people of God. No, they were the chosen people of God. But they were cut off from the olive tree, as the Bible clearly says. And in was grafted the Gentile church. And so the way that a physical Israelite enters into this covenant is just that. They have to enter into this covenant. Okay? So, and it's a new covenant. The first having passed away, the Bible says. So, the chosen now are the ones who are circumcised in heart. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb. Who will help thee? Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. There's that water. This is the outpouring of the Spirit. And streams upon the dry ground, just like the dry bones received the Holy Spirit breath of God to raise them up. streams upon the dry ground. I will pour out my Spirit upon thy seed. Oh, praise the Lord. And I say that this is both spiritual and physical. And my blessing upon thine offspring. So put your trust in the Lord. This revival is going to bring this. And they shall spring up among the grass as willows by the watercourses. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob. And another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, I am the last, and besides me there is no God. Well, amen to that. So what we're seeing here is, very soon, he's standing at the door. We've had the signs, and we've had the words to confirm it. He's standing at the door. He's ready to come as the latter rain poured out upon the people of God who are thirsty. No, not those that are satisfied and, you know, with their religion, which is not even a close facsimile of the truth of what the church is supposed to be. No, if they're satisfied with that, that's all they're going to get. But the Lord's going to make many of them unsatisfied with that. I mean, we're obviously hearing the Pope speak many blasphemous things lately, and there are people turning away because they realize this is wrong. This is evil. This is not anything that has to do even with Catholicism. You know, they didn't even believe some of this corrupt stuff. You know, it's so that it's okay for leadership that's wrong leadership to be so corrupt that people turn away from them and look for God. Well, guess what? That's going to happen with all the daughters, the daughter harlots. Not just the mother of the harlots. Notice that the mother of the harlots is the mother of the harlots. Who was it that came out of the mother? That's right. Come out of all of them. No denomination knows the Lord. No denomination in the day of Jesus accepted him. No denomination. People had to come out of them, out of that sheepfold, to follow the Lord whithersoever he goeth. And so it's still today. Have to come out from among them, be ye separate. That's what he said. But now he's saying that he's going to pour out the Holy Spirit upon us and upon our seed. Because, you know, the Lord has blessed us and blessed our seed because of us. And we have prayed for them and we believe for them, and so God's going to bring it to pass. He said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. Now, I know a lot of the church doesn't believe that, but it's still in the Word, and we're not to add to or take away from the words under penalty of a curse. And as you know, people that don't believe that live under a curse. So, thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, thank you for your great deliverances. Thank you for pouring forth of your Spirit. Lord, like it says in Hosea chapters 5 and the beginning of 6, Lord, we repent. We repent of our apostasy. We repent of our ignorance of your ways. You said you were going to go away and not come back until we have thoroughly repented and changed our mind. And we're asking you, Father, in Jesus' name, to bring forth your glory in your people and show the whole world who you are. Isn't that what you said, Lord? That everyone would know that you're the Lord when this happens. And Lord, we thank you, too, that your people are receiving more and more revelation of these end times. Many of them very recently are receiving these things and understanding these things. And of course, there's the wolves that are standing on the sideline ready to snap up anybody that isn't being honest with the Lord or is in not wanting to give up their sinful life. And they go under the dominion of these wolves for a while. And when God turns them loose, they're so happy to run to Him. So, Lord, we're looking forward to that too, Lord. Setting the captives free. Open the prison to them that are bound. Just as our Lord Jesus first preached. And once again, we will see this from the Man-Child Ministry. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for these precious promises, Lord. Lord, we love your word, and we get excited when you show us little things here and there. And we just ask you to continue this, Lord. Show us these wondrous things. And most of all, let your spirit be poured forth upon the dry bones, the thirsty ground. Yes, Lord. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for the work that you're doing in our hearts. We pray that you will now do this in our children. We ask for your guidance every day. We want to be led of your Spirit, because you said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And what are we waiting for but the manifestation of the sons of God, Romans 8, so that the creation itself would be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of God. So, Lord, we want to see the manifestation of your sons. And they're only your sons, Lord, because the Son, Jesus Christ, dwells in them by his word and by his anointing. And so, Lord, Jesus was a revelation of the Son of God. And he had to be made in all things like unto his brethren. And so there he was, the Son of God, walking in the Son of Man, the seed of David. Once again, Lord, that spiritual type is going to be fulfilled. You have your Davids out there around the world waiting to receive this anointing. And I'm talking about David's not necessarily by name, but in spirit. They're waiting to receive your anointing, Lord, and to receive as a bunch of donkeys your leadership. Let me say, they will carry you on your mission to planet Earth. And we thank you, Father, that they're bearing that cross on their back, across their shoulders, just as the donkey does. And they say, Lord, ever since you sat on that donkey, they've been having that cross on the donkeys ever since. I don't know about that, if it's true, but it sure sounds neat anyway. And, of course, there have been disciples that have borne their cross and borne you in various places of the earth, every place that you're about to come, ever since that day. And in these days, the greatest are going to come forth because of this great and mighty outpouring of the latter rain. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your kindness. We are eagerly awaiting this joyous thing, just like Eve greeted the commander of all the hosts. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for this awesome miracle, Lord. Please open the eyes of the people, Lord. Those that are in bondage to false leadership, false anointings, demon-possessed people that have no desire to serve you in their own life, much less putting it on other people. We ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, set your people free, Father. Just as those early disciples were set free from the denominations of Judaism to follow you out of those denominations, out of the sheepfold. And let it be today, Lord, that a mighty, mighty miracle of your deliverance happen to your people today, Lord. We pray for it. We seek your face, Lord. As you said would happen before you came as the latter rain, that we would seek your face. And Lord, we do. Give us the grace. Give your people anointing even to seek your face. Let the John the Baptist, the spirit of John the Baptist that's gone forth of repentance, pave the way for the coming of the Lord in the hearts of the people. And we thank you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We praise you that it's a done deal. It's going to happen. The only question is, who is it going to happen with? It's going to happen. And because the things that have been are the things that shall be. The things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. So we thank you, Lord, that you've shown us the secrets of what is coming. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, please bless all your people that join us today, Lord, with desire, with deliverance, working them to will and to do of your good pleasure. Gift your people, Lord, mightily with the gifts of your Spirit. And worship and praise like they've never seen. We thank you for that, Lord. In our own assembly, it's that way. People are worshiping more and more freely, and the gifts are being given more and more freely. The word of the Lord is going forth. And we thank you, Father, for that, for your mercy, for your grace. Please continue to have mercy upon your people. Lord, I believe in places in the world, a revival is going to spring forth around the man-child ministers. A revival is going to go forth. What the man-child has, like Jesus said, he will impart to the disciples, and they in turn will go out and do the same things that he did. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Feed the people the true living bread of the Word of God. And Lord, we thank you so much for this mercy. We do not deserve it. No one does. But we thank you so much for this mercy, Lord. And Father, grant repentance to all who want to make it into this bride, who I believe the time is running out. And I believe it will have run out by the time of the man-child's manifestation. And I believe that, just as you've shown us, you are at the door. And the body of the bride is going to be sealed. And so we ask, O Lord, that all those who aspire towards that will have faith in their hearts, a gift from you to enter in, Lord, because the double-minded man is unstable, and he's not going to receive anything from the Lord, as you said. So many are being attacked by condemnation. Many are being attacked by words that don't come from your word, that don't describe your opinion towards your people, nor what you will do for your people. There's much deceit and deception and testing going on out there, Lord. Just as you were tested in the wilderness, so is your man-child being tested in the wilderness. And the people who ascribe, who desire to be in the bride, too, are being tested by the wicked people around them, wicked so-called Christians around them. So we thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for setting us free. Thank you for drawing us by your Spirit into a deeper place in you. deeper relationship with you, a deeper place in prayer and in power with you. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much for this awesome mercy that you're pouring out upon your people. Thank you so much, Father. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you. We have nothing to offer to you. We are like donkeys. We have nothing to offer. It's everything comes from you. Everything that we give, you provide. And Lord, your power is made perfect in weakness. Donkeys are pretty weak. And obviously they were weaker than all of their enemies who loved to ride horses. But you had them win over their enemies, even these donkeys, Lord. And Lord, weak flesh, you take no pleasure in the strength of the beast. You take no pleasure in the legs of a man, you say. And Lord, you chose donkeys who are weak. Your power is made perfect in weakness. Lord, we come to you in all of our weakness. We ask that your power be manifest in us to be what we need to be, what we desire to be. And we thank you for this great mercy, Lord. Grant repentance, a clear hatred for sin from your people. And we love you, we praise you, we thank you. And Lord, I ask you to go forth with the brethren that are joining us today. Pour forth of your Spirit upon them, deliver their children. Give them wisdom, Lord, to speak the Word of God. And thank you so much, Father, for your mercy towards us. Well, saints, thank you for joining us today. Thank you for your prayers. We pray for you, too. And we thank you that the Lord is going to make you all things that you need to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. And good night.